Next Sunday morning, Norman Spann will be here to speak. Norman is the student that we support at the Memphis School of Preaching. I talked to him again last night, and he will be here next Sunday morning. I will be at Smyrna next Sunday morning, just this side of Murfreesboro, speak three times on a homecoming. I'll speak on coming home, being home, and going home. And then I will be back next Sunday night. Our two students from the East Tennessee School of Preaching will be here the first Sunday in February. The lectureship at Fried Hardeman starts, and they all come as a group. And one of them will speak Sunday morning and one Sunday night, giving us an opportunity to hear all three of the students that we support specifically in these two schools. I'm glad that you're having the meal next week. That will work out well to feed the family from Memphis. And we will take care of the situation the next Sunday then with the others. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You recognize that immediately as the beloved 23rd Psalm. It starts out with the idea that the Lord is my shepherd. One little girl started quoting that, and she said, "The Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want." And then she forgot the rest of it, and someone said she pretty well hit the nail on the head. Is the Lord your shepherd this morning? Being in the midst of a series of lessons that we've entitled Listen to the Animals, I bring a lesson this morning that I would entitle The Sheep Business. Last Tuesday, as we were going from the funeral home where we had the funeral for my aunt to the cemetery several miles away, we passed a small farm and there were several sheep in the lot. You don't see many sheep in this area now. You'll come much more nearly seeing some goats. But there were several sheep, first I had seen in a while. And I was reminded of the lesson that we're studying today. The 10th chapter of John presents the people that are followers of Christ as sheep. Christ identifies himself in that passage as the door to the sheepfold. He also identifies himself as the good shepherd. Particularly along about verses 14 through 16, he says he's the shepherd and he knows his sheep and his sheep know him. He says, "Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, they need to be brought in so that there can be one fold." He was talking about the Jews and the Gentiles. But he talks about all of them using the idea of there being sheep. As I look through the Bible at all the passages that talk about sheep, and use that as a way of expressing the relationship of people to Christ, it seems to me that there are three basic areas in which we find the word used in a figure of speech. And it's interesting that as we look at these three areas, we're looking, at my opinion, at the three great areas of responsibility in the work of the church. So what I'm saying is that if we look at what the Bible says about sheep and think about it as the sheep business, that there is a sense in which the church are not only the sheep of the fold of Christ, but we're in the sheep business. Basically, those three ideas are these. The person who has not become a Christian is an alien sheep. that needs to be brought to the fold of Christ. There are Christians who have gone astray and they have become erring sheep that need to be brought back. And all of us as sheep in the fold of Christ need to be fed regularly. And so if you really stop and think about it, we've just mentioned the three basic areas of the work of the church. We're interested in bringing the alien sinner to Christ, the erring Christian back to Christ, and feeding and strengthening those that are faithful in Christ. When Jesus was giving the marching orders to the 12 apostles in Matthew 10, after having named them in the first few verses, he said in verse 6, "Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Here is a passage where he is using the word sheep to refer to those who are not yet Christians. He was particularly telling them that your first responsibility is going to be to the Jewish people. They will be offered the gospel first. We recognize that that happened with 3,000 Jews obeying the gospel recorded in Acts 2, and no record of a Gentile becoming a Christian until Cornelius in Acts 10, maybe some 8 years later. And so Jesus knew what he was talking about, had in mind exactly what they should do, when he told them to go out and start contacting those Jewish people and teaching them about Christ, but he referred to those people as the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Today, we might very well refer to all those who have never become Christians as lost sheep in the world. There are those who have never heard the gospel. Romans 10 admonishes us to take the gospel and teach, to send people to preach that gospel so that people can believe it and through that call on the name of the Lord in obedience. There are those who have heard but don't understand. Some do not understand because they do not want to understand, do not have the love of the truth that they might be saved. 2 Thessalonians 2:11 and 12. Some do not understand because worldliness has choked them out, as expressed in the parable of the sower in Matthew 3 and other places. And I think some do not understand because they're looking for something that is hard, when the preaching of the gospel can teach people what to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. There are some lost sheep in the world who've not yet become Christians who rebel against the gospel. I honestly believe, and I think you would agree with me, that there are people who understand the plan of salvation, understand that Christ is the Savior, know exactly what they need to do to become a part of His following, and yet they will rebel, put it off, go in some other direction. There are many religious people in the world who are a part of the lost sheep of the world. Jesus said, "Not everyone that calls me Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father," Matthew 7:21. He goes ahead in the next two or three verses and explains there will be people in that day, the judgment day, who will say, "Lord, look at all the things we've done in thy name." And he said, "I'll say to them, depart from me, I never knew you." They thought they were right, maybe were sincere, but had not done what Jesus had told them to do. And so today, as we think about the work of the church, we look around us and we see people who have not yet become Christians. They've not yet confess Christ and been baptized into Him for the remission of sins and added to the Lord's church to be a part of the following are the disciples of our Lord. Those are described as being lost sheep. And so as we go out in any way to teach someone, to bring someone to Christ, we are in that way in what I would call today the sheep business. But there is a second way in which the word is used. You are very familiar with Luke chapter 15. The latter part of it is the story of the prodigal son. Just before that is the story of the lost coin. But the chapter starts out by talking about the lost sheep. A description is given of a shepherd who has 100 sheep. 99 of them are where they need to be, but one is lost. And he gives an extreme emphasis in this passage to say that the shepherd would leave the 99 and go out to find the one, to emphasize how important one is to the shepherd. He goes out and finds that sheep and brings the sheep back to where the other 99 are, to where that sheep is now in the fold with the others, where he needs to be. Basic description is a man's got 100 sheep, 99 of them are where they need to be, and one's not where he needs to be. But notice that that sheep was with the other 99 at one time and has gone astray. He has 100 sheep. All of them are faithful. Now one of the 100, leaving 99, goes astray and becomes what you and I might call an erring Christian. A sheep that's supposed to be in the fold and has left and is not in the fold. In 1 Peter 2:25, he said, "You are as sheep gone astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul." If you've returned to something, you had to be there in the first place. There's a lot of discussion as to whether or not a child of God can fall or can be lost. This is one of the ways that proves it. He returned. It means he had to have been there in the first place and then was gone, or he couldn't have returned. You cannot fall off this stage unless you're on the stage. You cannot fall away unless you're once there. And there's ample proof throughout the Bible. Galatians 5:4, you are fallen from grace. 2 Peter 2:20 through 22 describes a condition that's worse than the first. And he said they left the world and they are entangled therein again. That little word again is so important. You cannot be somewhere again unless you were there and left. And now you're back. So the Bible definitely proves that we can, as sheep, go astray. We can be lost. And I've had the experience on the farm of having animals that were lost. They were in the barn the night before and now you can't find them. They're lost. And that's the image that is here. Emphasis is also placed upon the responsibility of the church. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. Galatians 6:1. And if a brother's overtaken in a fault and overcome, bring him back and save his soul. James 5:19 and 20. And so there is ample proof that this is a work of the church to bring back the erring Christians. It has been suggested in recent years that in most towns there are as many erring Christians who are not faithful to Christ as there are Christians who are faithful to Christ. I cannot prove that one way or the other, but I don't doubt it. And I suspect that if each one of you who is here this morning would begin to just let your mind wander a little bit and think, that you can think of more than one person right now who at one time was faithful in worship and involvement in the church who is not today. And if you think of one like that, you're thinking about an erring sheep like the one here in Luke 15. An erring Christian may be found in different sets of circumstances. There are different types of sheep that have gone astray. I like to look at the three stories in Luke 15 as sort of showing three different types of erring people. And there may be a fourth one suggested. There is the erring son, the prodigal son, who left his father's house and went out and became involved in the mire of sin. He was about as low as you could go in the kind of acts being done. Though we don't know exactly what some of those acts were, we know the general description that he was basically in the hog pen of life. He came back home to his father. Then there is the sheep, which specifically suggests that one can be lost without doing any harm to himself or anybody else. If you'll stop and think about it, wouldn't you agree that that sheep that went astray was not hurting anybody else and probably was not hurting himself? Maybe just walked off the path as they were coming in and maybe lay down out there under the tree or by the lake in a peaceful setting, not doing anything that's wrong, as we would say, but just away from the other sheep. I suspect you can name some people like that that you know. I had one man, I've told you about this, but one man several years ago, one of the most faithful Christian men, one Sunday he quit. Never returned to the services of the church again. I don't know why till this day. A good man, good citizen, good father, good husband. I never heard anybody in the community say anything negatively about him, but he quit and never returned to worship God again in his life. Died in that condition. That's like the sheep. Then there's a third story in Luke 15 about the lost coin. Different from the others in that coin was lost in the house. Get that. Lost in the house, not far from the other coins. The problem was it was lost and its value was not worth anything to the woman who owned it. She had the other 9, and if she needed to go buy something that cost 10, she couldn't, because one of those coins was lost, but it was lost not in the hog pen, not out away from the fold, but right in the house. And I think we need to especially emphasize this to ourselves. We can be lost, even though we're sitting in a service like this, if we don't use our talents and our service in the Lord's kingdom and we're not worth anything to the cause of Christ because we won't do anything, we can be like that coin. And there's another character in Luke 15 that makes another point that also we need to consider, and that's the older brother of the prodigal son. You remember when the prodigal son came home, the older brother was jealous and upset and frustrated. Wouldn't even go in and greet his younger brother that had come back home. And I think sometimes in the church we have those that are self-righteous, not willing to forgive. Maybe good as far as morals are concerned, and maybe faithful as far as every service is concerned, but their attitude is rotten. And is there not the suggestion there by this older brother being included that that can happen to us? So whether a Christian leaves and goes out and starts drinking and carousing and living it up, or whether he just quits attending, or he attends and won't do anything, or he's got a rotten attitude, any of these could cause us to be erring sheep that need to be brought back home. And the good news in all of this is that the shepherd will take us back. The door is always open to return to the fold of Christ, to the faithful relationship with Christ. He will accept us, and he will forgive us. So we have the lost sheep, the alien sheep. We have the lost sheep, the erring Christian. Then there is a third area where sheep are emphasized. There's a rather unusual discussion over in the latter part of the book of John between Christ and Peter. It's in the 21st chapter. Beginning at verse 15, Jesus said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said, oh yes, Lord, I love you. He said, feed my lambs. Again he asked him, you love me? Oh yes. Feed my sheep. Third time he asked him, do you love me? And Peter became a little frustrated to ask him the third time. And this is another lesson for another time as to why he did this and what kind of love he was talking about. But that's not our point today. But he asked him the third time, you love me? He said, Lord, you know I love you. He said, Peter, feed my sheep. 1 Peter 5, Peter calls himself a fellow elder. And he admonishes the elders to feed the flock. Paul in Acts 20 met the elders from the church at Ephesus in the Isle of Miletus. He said, take heed to yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church. Feed the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. And I doubt that it's by accident that here in John he first said, feed my lambs, and then he said, feed my sheep. Every generation in the church has to be taught. Sometimes we assume too much of our younger generation that they know what we know. If we don't teach every generation the facts of the gospel and the distinctiveness of the scripture and the Lord's church, we'll lose the church. I've announced the theme for our gospel meeting as distinct or extinct. And what I mean by that is, if we do not teach the distinct gospel of Jesus Christ, we have no reason to exist, and eventually we will become extinct. We need to teach and teach and teach and teach. We need to teach the lambs. Desire the sincere milk of the word is another image in 1 Peter 2:2. But then get to the strong meats of the gospel, Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. Teach, teach, teach. And it's just like feeding animals, if you've had any experience. They need to be fed in the morning, they need to be fed at night, and sometimes in between. And tomorrow you get up and they need to be fed again. And that's the way it is with the sheep of God's flock. We need to be fed. I don't care how long we've been studying the Bible, we still need to be fed God's word. We need to teach it to where the lambs can understand it, and then teach more to where the sheep are grounded in the gospel. That's a great responsibility that we have. Folks, we don't have these Bible study classes on Sunday morning and Wednesday night just to publish in the paper that we meet at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning and 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. We have them for teaching purposes. We don't include a gospel message in our Sunday morning service and our Sunday evening service just to say that somebody preached. And those of us that preach need to understand what's involved and not just have something so that there can be a sermon preached, but so that there can be the feeding of the sheep. That's a part of what it's about. Feeding the sheep. I spend a great deal of time analyzing what's been preached, what needs to be preached. I keep records of every sermon. I can show you every sermon I've preached here. I can show you the title of every sermon I preached for 18 years at Henderson. I've got 25 years of those on tape at Henderson in Tullahoma. I can go back and go back and listen. Sometimes listening to myself makes me appreciate what you have to put up with. But you see, there's a lot involved. In being sure, are we covering all the things that we need to cover? Are we presenting the things that the congregation needs, the younger ones, the older ones? Are we touching these things? Are we forgetting them? One of the things that you've heard a lot of preachers say is, I've been there 10 years and I've never preached the same sermon. Don't brag about that. I've been here a little over a year, and I haven't preached the same sermon as far as the same title is concerned, but I'll guarantee you that I have, not by accident, but on purpose, included some ideas again and again and again in sermons. There's some things that need to be preached almost every Sunday. Not only to help us to straighten out our problems, but to help us to avoid problems. That's a part of feeding the sheep. That feed to the sheep, if you'll think about it, needs to be regular and it needs to be balanced if you're going to have the right kind of animals. So I say to you this morning, we're in the sheep business. Bringing the lost sheep to Christ, the erring sheep back, and feeding the faithful sheep. And that's a great responsibility. I hope every time in the future that you see some sheep by the side of the road that you'll think about this sermon. And if you see goats, just let them make you think about sheep. And still think about it. Because it's an important idea that we've discussed this morning. Now, in light of what we have said, if you're one of those lost sheep that's never come to Christ, you can become a part of his fold this morning by confessing your faith with a penitent attitude, be buried with him in baptism, and he'll add you to the church, which is his sheepfold. If you're one who's already in the fold, but you've sort of stepped aside or you're not living like you should, he'll accept you back. Either is your need, come as together we stand and sing. Yeah.